throughout, I'm just reading from down on page 239 from Samborski's The Physical World of the Greeks. Thus, throughout antiquity, the concept of time remained inseparable from the measures of time, the clocks. Every clock, whether it is the earth revolving upon its axis, the reflection of this revolution in the skies, or a water clock, a pendulum clock, etc., is a cyclical mechanism, the function of which can be depicted in terms of a circular motion. As against this, the mathematical treatment of the kinetic problems obliges us to disregard the essential difference between distance and time, as expressed in the fact that distances are measured only by measuring rods and times by watches, and to comprehend them both in the abstract as coordinates, i.e. numerical quantities which are formally comparable. Physical time is simply a coordinate stretching from an arbitrary zero, fixed according to need to infinity. Its definition was a set of limits to the next step, comprehending local measures of function of time. We find the beginning of something like a functional conception among the Stoics, but they spoke of certain situations as functions of other situations. They did not get as far as seeing physical occurrences as functions of time, comprehending as a general dimension. So the point of this was that this shita of Galenos, which the Rambam brings here, appears to be similar to the Stoic concept of time. Now, whether in fact Galen, G-A-L-E-N, was a Stoic, I leave for the ancient historians. But the fact is that there's no question about it, that the Rambam, he speaks about Mikra B'Seich Mikra, which we're understanding as a function of other situations. This concept of time, which is more abstract, it's certainly more abstract than the Aristotelian concept of time, which is merely a circular motion. So the Rambam is in fact actually, in this tangent here, the Rambam is actually expressing a theory of time which he rejects. He rejects this because in Perek Ayin Gimel, in Hanacha Shlishit, which is in the Schwartz book, that's 208, 209, there in the Rambam's arguments against the Kalam, he speaks about the Kalam's concept of time, which is actually a type of discrete time, but he goes on and said, Ad Shafilo Galinis Omar, and even until Galen says, that's on page 209, Inyan Eloiki, the time is sometimes like a divine matter, meaning it's very abstract. Hashem Ahusu Hamisis Eina Nitna Lahasaga. Its true essence cannot really be understood. If I can actually read that from the Pinnis edition, it's nice to have two Bernard Volkums in front of me. In the third premise, he says, in fact, they have no knowledge, speaking about the Kalam, or these, they have no knowledge at all of the true reality of time. And it's only probably God to them for seeing that the cleverest philosophers were confused by the question of time, and some of them didn't understand this notion. So that Galen could say that it is a divine thing, the true reality of which cannot be perceived. This applies all the more to those who pay no attention to the nature of anything. In any case, like the Rambam is explicating a concept of time which was against Aristotle. I mean, the Stoics, this was a machlekes, a debate, between controversy between Stoics and Aristotle. The Rambam clearly, at least in chapter 73, is coming out on the side of Aristotle against the Stoic. The Stoic concept of time, according to the Rambam, which also posits the concept of a vacuum too, is in fact actually in contradiction to the Aristotelian theory of the universe. The Stoics understood that time and space, in a certain sense, are abstract geometrical objects, and therefore, much like Newton, physics, dynamics describes the motions of bodies within the abstract coordinates of space, and motion in accordance with the abstract coordinate of time. The theory of the Stoics is very, very similar to that of Newtonian physics, where time and space are sort of like abstract entities which don't really get involved in the physical world, but really serve as coordinates and parameters to measure the physical world. It's interesting, I also made the Xerox too from a Professor Lee Smolin. The book is called, I think, Three Roads to Quantum Gravity. Smolin says here on in this chapter, there is nothing outside the universe. He actually contrasts the Newtonian view of the universe he's not really interested in Aristotle, of course, to Einstein's view of the universe. On page 19, he says, this view of space is something that exists independent of any relationship is called the absolute view. In other words, space and time, according to Newton, are absolute. In other words, they're not parts of the universe. They don't change. It was Newton's view, but it's been definitely refuted by the experiments that have verified Einstein's theory of general relativity. This has radical implications, would take a lot of thinking to get used to, etc., etc., that he stuck some physicists. The fact is that actually, what's interesting is that the Einstein's view that space and time are actually related and actually change and bend, in other words, that means that Einstein, I guess I don't know what's called relativity, but they did away with nothing's absolute in Einstein. Even space and time are not absolute. In other words, time is actually like any object. It gets longer, it gets shorter, so the space bends and everything. What Einstein did in a certain sense was actually to throw us back to the Aristotelian concept of the universe. This is not to say that Aristotle was mechaber to Einstein, because Einstein came up with this theory as a result of experimental or at least experiments, and Aristotle, of course, wasn't really interested in experimentation. Aristotle was not a scientist in the sense of Einstein, but what's interesting is that this Aristotelian theory of the universe, that there are no absolutes, that in fact actually, time and space are just as physical as, as bodies and matter, is actually, was the revolution that Einstein inaugurated in general relativity. That's just for your general edification. I realize that most people are 100 years backwards when it comes to science, so I just want to inform people that there's a person named Einstein who lived about 100 years ago who came up with general relativity, in case you missed it the last few years.
So Einstein is really reintroducing a kind of ether.
Space
and time.
But it's not ether. It's not ether. What happened was actually the Greeks had a notion of ether too. Yeah. Right? They called it eudema something. It has some type of a Greek name. The ether. What bothered people for Einstein was, how do you explain the propagation of electromagnetic radiation? It has to propagate through some type of an ether. The problem is that Michelson-Morley experiment did away with that, because the question is, if the ether is moving in some direction, so why should speed of light be the same in a direction? But Einstein basically did away with the ether, right, but replaced it with the curvature of time and space. So in other words, Einstein created, the physicists are probably going to laugh at me for this, but Epis, like, he created like a substitute for the ether. In other words, there is no ether, right? But there is, in other words, space and time somehow collapse and become part of the universe. So space is just as much part of the universe as matter is. There's no such thing as an absolute vacuum. In fact, actually, in Einstein, it's actually a bigger chiddush. There's no such thing as a point. There's only a relationship between points. That's also a feature of general relativity. Anyway, I'm going to go into general relativity. Maybe we'll open up a website on general relativity in Judaism another time.
Over here on page 20, he says that, the last paragraph, the confusing aspect is Einstein's theory of general relativity can consistently describe universes that contain no matter.
Right. And a chanami, right.
So,
Because
space itself is it's like a thing.
No space, no matter. In other words, all space, no matter. What did Hume say? No matter, never mind. But whatever, no space, whatever. Okay, fine. Anyway, whatever it is, we will speak about Einstein maybe some other time when we speak about whatever it is. But in any case, getting back to the Rambam, which is really our main concern, the Meir Nebuchim. But the Pashtus is that the Rambam in the Meir Nebuchim doesn't hold from the Stoic concept of time. By the way, I see that in chapter 73, I think that the Professor Schwartz is trying to look and see, like, who is this opinion of the Stoics, etc. Who is this opinion the Rambam brings in the third assumption? Speaks about actually time, looking at time discreetly. I guess it's not even clear who that is. And of course, the Stoics believed in a vacuum too, and the atomic theory, which of course the Rambam rejects very, very clearly. For the Rambam, I think vacuum is like divine. You see, what's the pshat is? The pshat is, the question is that if time is so abstract, and you know, and space is abstract, it becomes divine, and that threatens a certain amount of immanence. For the Rambam, that borders on Avodah Zarah. Of course, Lee Spall has something to say about Kadosh Baruch with that respect. But in any case, the fact is that the Rambam opposes this theory of time. That's clear. The Rambam opposes the theory of time. Why is the Rambam here in chapter 13 of section 2 expounding a theory of time which, lichoira, he's opposed to? In other words, in assumption 3 of chapter 73, I know why he's expounding it, because the Rambam is coming to refute it, to shlug it up. Right? But why is the Rambam drain us a cup with Galen's theory of time when, you know, it's up gefreit. The Rambam opposes it. And then the Rambam goes on and says that, and Rambam says, now you know that Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't bring the world to a beginning of time. That, in other words, and the Rambam says to me, I'm going to go into something that is really not related to the issue. Of course it's related to the issue. Why'd you waste a paragraph of Ernavuch because it's not related to the issue? But I wanted to say, what the Rambam is doing is the following thing. What the Rambam is saying like this. The Rambam is aiming at a concept of creation ex nihilo, which is a purely abstract concept which has nothing to do with the theory of creation. That's what I want to claim. And because of that, the Rambam, in order to do this, is going to take the most abstract concept of time. In other words, if the Rambam, this is what I want to say, this is my chiddush, my novella here. If the Rambam would just stick with the Aristotelian concept of time, which is circular motion, so creation ex nihilo is not all that mysterious. You could say that the Kadosh Baruch Hu at one point, the world was static, and Kadosh Baruch Hu at one point started circular motion. No, it was a creation ex nihilo. It could be a physical theory. The world was static, and Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, started circular motion. So creation ex nihilo has become a little bit of a theory of creation. What the Rambam wants to do is the Rambam wants to take the most abstract concept of time. If I take the Stoic concept of time, where time is a purely is like an abstract measure of things, then what you get is that the creation of the world is not a physical event, because it cannot have happened any time that the Rambam says. The Rambam says, Lachain, on page 298, the second line of the third paragraph, Kadosh Baruch Hu cannot have brought the world into being at any time, at any point of time. Because if I think about the world was X number of years, let's say the world, let's presume, and some people presume, that the world is 5,768 years. I always remember that figure because you have to write in the Ksuva. But although it says the pre-Kaddish, whatever, I'm not sure what it means 3 years either. But in any case, how could you say God created the world 5,768 years ago? That means that 5,768 years plus 1 second, there was only God. But you can't say that. There was no time before God. When you think about that, that's a paradox. So therefore the statement that God created the world 5,768 years ago is an absurd statement if one believes in what? In creation ex nihilo. It's an absurd statement. Although I tell you, 2 weeks ago, my say Shabbos, my son Kavi brought a whole kabul of Chevron guys into my house. About 16 of them walked into my house, and I gave a shiur. They asked me to give a shiur. So I gave a shiur up in Kriyas Shema Ne'elah. I was telling this always, some of them couldn't get it, and I was amazed that they have no sophistication in their thinking whatsoever. But you should know something. A kid came up to me. It says he found my shiur very inspiring, and maybe I heard of his grandfather. He said, "Who's your grandfather?" "My grandfather's a Gedalia Nagel." Tera machzeret al asanya, whatever it is. Anyway, the fact is, what the Rambam is getting at, why does the Rambam use this abstract concept of time? What the Rambam is getting at it is that creation ex nihilo is not a scientific event. It's a religious event. And that's what the Rambam says. I want to reflect upon this very, very much. In other words, basically, says the Rambam, I'm going to read from the Pinnis edition. This is a time to go to the Pinnis edition to make sure that we get the message out loud and clear in the English language. The Rambam says, right? Consider this matter thoroughly. For thus you will, this is page 22, for thus you will not be attached to objections from which there is no escape, for him who does not know it. For if you affirm, as true as this is the present world, you are destined bound to leave the turning of the world. For time is an accident, etc., etc. It says the Rambam like this. If a person is going to tell you that God created the world X number of years ago, you should know he leaves the turning of the world. Which means that what? Really, says the Rambam, creation ex nihilo is not a theory of creation. It has nothing to do with science. It's a theological concept. What is creation ex nihilo is? Well, actually, we're going to see in this section, section 2, chapter 25, creation ex nihilo seems to me to be, this is an expression of God's will, that God is free will, the freedom of God. Well, creation ex nihilo means that God is not bound by the laws of nature. He has free will. Let's read that now. If we understand that this is what the Rambam is saying, we understand the next paragraph. The next paragraph is, on page 298, Zoisi Achas Hadeus. Right, this is one of the viewpoints. One of the opinions. The Rambam mentions that there are three opinions regarding the creation of the world. And the Rambam says, Zoi Achas Hadeus, philosophic Ika Teres Beisha Binol. This is the Ika Teres Beisha Binol. Okay, the Rambam already said that the creation of the world is from Teres Moshe. But he says, Vusheni Li'ika Hayichud. You shouldn't consider anything else. Now, it's very funny that the Rambam should say this. It's one of the Ikre, Teres Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Sheni Li'ika Hayichud. A person who believes in it, he has no Chelek Elam Haba. The Rambam in the Hatamat Perek Chelek. How can the Rambam say that? The Rambam says, black and white, right? On Parakaf Hei, page 342 in the fourth tradition, that if I believe in Cognos according to the second opinion, which is the opinion of Plato, right, then it doesn't destroy the foundations of the Torah. The Rambam says I can believe in the Platonic theory of turning of the world. So how could it possibly be that the Rambam here is saying this is Hushein Lik Hayichut? Of course not. I mean, the Rambam says explicitly in chapter 25 that a person can believe in the Platonic theory of the turning of the world. Is that not Pekaitis? He's a believing Jew. If not, it doesn't destroy the sinners of Torah. In fact, not only that, says the Rambam. The Rambam says there are statements in the Torah that one can even rely upon. The Rambam goes further. The Rambam has the real contradiction of the Rambam, even more than this, a little contradiction. The Rambam says, The Avraham Avinu was the person who first publicized this opinion. And then he says, "We be at their zois beforeish ba'omri." When he says, "Koneim shemayim va'aretz," why did the Rambam bring that pasuk? Koneim shemayim va'aretz. The Rambam in Perek Lamed in the Schwartz edition. On Daf 371, that sounds terrible, right? That sounds Daf 371. Shlosh Biyot Shivim V'Yachad. The Rambam says the Loshin of Koine says the Rambam says the Schwartz edition explicitly. Zenoite Klapi Abunu BeKadmus Chay Mekol Show Koine Mitzkadmus. I could just if the Rambam had avopsukim to bring, why bring Kanesha by Vahogas? That's the one lashon of creation, the Torah, that is mashmakatlus. In fact, what the Rambam says in Parakafe, there are certain psukim that a person who believes in the Platonic eternity theory of the world, he can rely upon. It probably means lashon Kanesha by Vahogas. He brings that at page 370. Kanesha Mayim Va'oretz. It's the same pasuk in Galatians, Parak Yudalet, pasuk Chavbeis. Shasa Chavbeis. What's going on? Derech Agav, who is that? Malki Tzedek says to Avom Avinu, Kanesha Mayim Va'oretz. What's Avom answers? Kel Elyon, Kanesha Mayim Va'oretz. There's a dialogue there between Avom Avinu and Malki Tzedek. No? It's got a chumash. We like to look at a philosophical debate between Malki Tzedek and Avraham Avinu. I'm sure I gave a shir this one time, this dialogue between them. Is there a chumash there? I guess not.
Just to go back to what you were saying before, you're saying that it's like Lezu Afsu, that with regard to the different opinions on time.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I'm saying that even on the Tzad, even if you're going to say, if you can look at time as something more abstract, you're still going to be able to.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like Lezu Afsu. We really, you know, right. We need to say that. Aristotle's concept of time supports what Rambam's saying better, but he's saying that even if you're going to say
right, that, yeah, guys, yeah. But I'm saying the Rambam Badak wrote this because he wanted to show that it's not a physical theory of creation. Because
he's saying that even when time's more abstract, it's still
right. Right.
Safe, it's still physical.
Right. Right. So it's interesting. What I'm saying is that Malki Tzedek, Bereishis, Malki Tzedek, Melech Sholem Etzilecha V'yayin Luchayin Le'elan Yoyin. He says to Avraham Avinu, Baruch Avraham lekel Elyon koinei shemayim v'oretz. Oh, uvorah kel Elyon l'shemigen Avraham. Oh. Baruch Avraham lekel Elyon koinei shemayim v'oretz. Right, so I maybe had this wrong.
Not by Eliezer and Chaisar.
No, but what is over here? What?
Chai Sarah, when Eliezer speaks to Lavan.
Oh, wait. No, I meant like this. He says, Baruch Avraham lekel Elyon, koinei shemayim v'oretz. Okay? And then he says, V'yoyim Avraham, this is El Melech Stoim, harimoiz yodi el Hashem, kel Elyon, koinei shemayim v'oretz. In other words, Malki Tzedek uses Kel Elyon Kinei Shemayim Va'oretz. Avraham Avinu uses Hashem Yudkevavke Havaya Kel Elyon Kinei Shemayim Va'oretz. So it's interesting. He says over here Hashem Kel Elyon Hashem V'chaya Haya Haya V'yir should be really B'yish B'yayin, and Kinei Shemayim Va'oretz should be what? Eternity of the world. In other words, the Goyim. Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky says in Amos Yankov and Zocher Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh, he says that the Goyim are actually not allowed to, but should believe in Kabbos HaOilah. So I once brought an item from the Psukim of Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek says, Kel Elyon Kinei Shemayim Va'oretz, Kadmos, and Avraham Avinu says, Havaya, Hashem, Kel Elyon Kinei Shemayim Va'oretz. In other words, Avraham Avinu adds the extra Havaya, which is what? So the Maaseh that Rambam brings here, this pasuk, Hashem Kel Elyon. It's interesting. He brings it from Bereishis Chav Aleph Lamed Gimel. But really, Avraham Avinu uses Hashem Kel Elyon Kenei Shemayim Va'oretz, which is B'yesh Mi'ayin. Malki Tzedek just Kenei Shemayim should be. So I want to say the following thing. The Maaseh that Rambam only used Kenei Shemayim Va'oretz are really stuck. of all choices to use, the phrase of the Rambam, which the Rambam himself says is Naita Vadasa Kadmas. So I want to say the following thing. I want to say here, the Rambam is being meramez to the Platonic theory of the creation of the world a little bit. Because he says, B'shem Hashem Kel Eloilam. He says, Kodesh my Vaaretz. In other words, the Platonic theory in Perek Chof Hei, what it has is that you can believe actually in both. In other words, scientifically, it believes in Kadmos, it's scientific the creation of the world. But it's theologically acceptable because it accepts the fact that the Rambam says that God has free will. In other words, what the Rambam is being meramez to is that the Ika thing that I have to believe in, right, is not that I have to believe in creation ex nihilo in contradistinction to Kadmos HaOlam. I can believe in Kadmos HaOlam of some form. What? But I have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has free will. He's not subject to laws of nature. So what the Rambam is saying is, Husheni Lika HaYichud. And then he brings Pasuk Shem Hashem Kelayon and then Kodesh Shemayim Va'aretz, which most, but both Kadmos, both B'yesh Mi'ayin, what the Rambam is coming to say to me is that I don't have to believe in B'yesh Mi'ayin as a theory of creation in contradistinction to another theory of creation. I have to believe in B'yesh Mi'ayin as a mussar, as a theological concept, that God is free will, and therefore it follows from that God, you know, God is free will, if a man is free will, God can punish, and God can reward, etc., etc. That's what I have to believe in. So what the Rambam is doing subtly here, he's being meramez, he's alluding to the fact that B'riya Yesh Mi'ayin is not a theory of the creation of the world which competes with other creation of the world. The contrary, it's incommensurable. But rather that B'riya Yesh Mi'ayin, creation ex nihilo, is the theological concept that God is endowed with free will, and hence man is endowed with free will, and that God can punish and reward, and can choose, and can make miracles, and that's why I have to believe in. But if you ask me from my scientific point of view, how is the world created? I can refer to some form of creation of Kadmos HaOlam. I want to claim the Rambam here. That's the Pshat of the Rambam here in the Mor Nevuchim. That's the Pshat of the Rambam in the Nevuchim. Now, I just want to make one statement, which I think is important here, is that we see that I want to go back a little bit to so we spoke about the notion of the time that we spoke about. I mentioned before that the Newton. Actually, it was Galileo. Eventually, Newton introduced an abstract form of time, and the Rambam was willing to consider this this abstract form of time, even though it runs contrary to Aristotelian science. So, I wanted to say is that some people think that you shouldn't learn the Mayim and the Vuchim because, you know, Aristotelian science is outdated. Yeah. I mean, why should I learn the Mayim and the Vuchim? Everything that happens is based on Aristotelian science. Since we don't hold with Aristotelian science, then it's outdated. So I want to say, from this is exactly a proof, exactly the opposite. You see, the Rambam is willing to stretch himself to an alternative form of science and physics. Because, in other words, the Rambam understood that even if the Rambam here is saying that even if I would accept another form of science, time in a certain sense, right, you don't consider the most abstract form of time, right? That doesn't mean that time exists for the universe.
That time doesn't mean that the time could exist.
Right. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is, in other words, even if the concept, what comes out of the Rambam is, that even if my concept of time changes, which in history it does, that doesn't his statements about creation ex nihilo, right, are still valid. Because creation ex nihilo, right, just means that God is endowed with a free will, which is incommensurable with any scientific theory of the world. That's what I'm saying. So the Rambam is not basically, he's not pitting himself on Aristotelian theory. On the contrary, the Rambam is saying that even if I would conceive another form of science, right, I would still, creation ex nihilo cannot be contained in a scientific theory by definition. That's what the Rambam is saying. So number one, because it's the theological part. Creation ex nihilo by definition is something which transcends any possible scientific theory. That's it. That's what the Rambam is saying. So in other words, the Rambam's theme of creation ex nihilo is invariant with respect to physical theories of creation. Okay, I think Lemaisa, that's just about it.
He didn't accept that other theory of time. He did it scientifically.
I think we'll go into Mirz Hashem. We go into the Kalam. We'll see. I think he found it to be too mystical or too Hasidish. It's interesting. Things like the vacuum and the atoms and it says almost divine. The Rambam, I think the Rambam here in chapter 73 almost accuses the of Galen as being up as like a Balatanya. Because he says that Galen said that time is divine. Right? How can you say that that's it's imminent, that's a Kedusha of the physical world, the Balatanya, it's the Balatanya Simpson. He attacked to introduce theoretical concepts like this. I think actually Newton liked this concept of space and time, because Newton was a very he was a Christian thinker. Newton, I read somewhere that actually Newton, one of the things Newton liked about his theory of science was that there were certain divine concepts. Newton understood that he made science more divine. Time and space become more divine. That's much more of a spiritual science. It's more luchnis of the world science. Okay, I think we'll stop over here. This will this concludes the second half of the second shir of Merda Nevuchim. We're up to finished page 298 in the Shavuot edition. And Emir Hashem, what we're going to be doing is next year, Emir Hashem, Bala Latova, we're going to speak about the Rambam's going to introduce the second theory, which is the theory of Aristotle's theory of the Trinity of the universe, which we'll discuss in detail. And then there's going to be the third theory, which is the Platonic theory of the creation of the universe. And we'll see how the Rambam interprets these things, and that will leave for next time. Okay, until then, be well.